This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
What's up, Atlanta? This is the Mouths of the South podcast brought to you by CrossFit Vesuvio and Dirty South Soccer. CrossFit Vesuvio, where you want to go get your CrossFit on, if you want to get swole and, you know, get in the gym and do some burpees and some snatches and all that good stuff. Josh Bagrianski, as always, with me. Jay and Kelly, they're out this week. Joining us in their place, Mr. Joe Patrick.
We have royalty today.
Hello. Mr. Hello. Hayes Creech.
Thanks for having me.
And gentlemen, Joe Patrick, of course, from Dirty South Soccer. You've seen some of his articles on the Dirty South Soccer, you know, network.
DSS.
And Hayes Creech works for FIFA. Do some freelancing for the digital side of things.
He's the only the only proper journo here.
Confirmed. Anyways, good Christmas, guys. What happened?
Yeah, mine was really good. Yeah. Mine was really good. I didn't have to work too much. Just
Santa bring you good presents.
Yeah. I got, I asked good? For really lame stuff, but,
well, yeah, we all want lame stuff. That's the thing that, you know, don't you remember when you were a kid and your dad wants like socks and like basic, you're like, this is, he is
now
so
you understand.
Lame. Yeah. And now, I really
understand.
Need socks. Yeah. It's just, you know, times are changing.
Stuff to cook with and like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm more about functionality at this
survival,
point.
Survival, if I'm being honest, it's more about survival for me. I can barely live on my own. So, yeah, I mean, socks, you know.
What'd you get?
I got some shoes. My mom got me I got a ladle. I told you.
Oh, because survival. We have one.
Survival, yeah. Very important. I like to make noodle soup.
How does it work at your house? I mean, is it Christmas or is it...
Oh,
Hanukkah-mas, or what is it?
Oh, we
because
have,
you mentioned being Jewish, right?
Yeah, okay, of course. Right, yeah. It's changed, but now it's just Christmas gifts. We do gifts on Christmas. Yeah, I mean,
I wanted to ask, kind of evolved. So I had, I'm not Jewish, but I had a Jewish roommate in college, and they would do Hanukkah and Christmas.
Yeah.
He had no Christians in his family, but it's just such a, you know...
Well, it's
common
awesome.
Cultural tradition.
Yeah, I mean, said this on the last podcast, I mean... Or maybe a couple ago, Jews love Christmas. Like, Hanukkah is not a big, big holiday on the spectrum of Jewish holidays. I mean, it's important, but it gets kind of just compared to Christmas because they fall around the same time and you get gifts.
Right.
So, like, people are trying to be inclusive, and which I always appreciated, but it ended up just kind of
assimilation between the two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I kind of just ended up associating the gifts with Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the day off. We'd always go out to eat. And so, got some gifts, and I've got my ladle.
Hey,
so
is anything good under the tree this year? Was Santa good to you?
My wife and I got suitcases.
There you go.
See?
Practicality. Man, functionality.
You have them, but you don't have good ones. So we now have good ones.
I don't want to say the strangest gift, because it was an awesome gift considering the fact that I have a job now that requires me to do this. My girlfriend got me a shoe shining kit.
Ooh, nice.
Which I never as a kid would have been like, why? And now I got it this year. I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And the first thing I did, shine my shoes.
One of my roommates. Roommate I had a few years ago, he would always shine his shoes while watching Game of Thrones. That was just like his thing. On Sunday night, getting ready for Monday. It was like a therapeutic thing for him.
I mean, I don't find it therapeutic. I just find it...
necessary.
I mean, it's necessary. Yeah. And I mean, it's like a... I don't know. It just feels like one of those man skills you just have to know.
Yeah. Well, there's some people that are like addicted to ironing. They like iron every piece of clothes they wear.
It's just, really?
Not because it's like they're a fear of wrinkles or anything. It's just more of like a... It's just like something that they can...
That's funny.
Zone in on.
I'm the opposite. I guess I'm addicted to not ironing. I don't know what it is, but I've just never done any of that.
Yeah, just put it in the dryer again.
It's a problem. It's, you know.
I fall on that side too.
Yeah. Well, you've got your good suitcases at least.
There you go.
So. Yeah. Life is good.
The biggest thing that has hit our lives in the last 2 weeks now? Has it been longer than that? How long has it been? Barco watch this telenovela that we've
never
engrossed our lives into.
On around Thanksgiving.
Barco
maybe
Watch
a little bit after
Barco
that.
Watch continues, a new twist. It's like, I don't know, eventually someone's going to make a movie out of this.
Yeah.
Because it's got that many plot twists and turns, and
a movie might not be enough.
You got to have two.
Yeah.
You got to have
might be like a trilogy or
You got to have the sequel.
Some kind of
what happens when he gets to Atlanta.
Could be a miniseries, you know.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be like the Pablo Escobar
documentary. Yeah.
I don't know, something. Something's got to happen. Netflix, get on this. Come on. It's written out for you, because I've never seen anything stranger happen in a transfer rumor session, I guess, if you want to call it, in a transfer window or whatever, than something like what's going on with Barco and Independiente and Atlanta United. It's strange. And what's even funnier is, and in case you haven't heard, Barco has basically said, I'm holding out. I'm not going to training. I'm not doing anything. I want to get traded. And this is something you'd see mostly like in American context and in the NFL, in the NBA, not so much in baseball, but you get the point. You don't see this very often in soccer, at least internationally. And so it's strange to see us see this, but that is something he's doing. He's holding out. He wants to go to Atlanta. And now it's really just up to Independiente.
I know we were trying before the show. We were talking about it. And we were trying to kind of wrap our heads around the whole narrative. In terms of what bids we've sent, what bids have been rejected, what were just rumors. You know, what was factual. And the conclusion that we came up with is we kind of don't know.
Yeah,
there's been so much. I mean, it's hard to put your head around everything that's happened. I think what happened, we put in a $12 million bid that got rejected. And then apparently we put in a $16 million bid was also rejected. But now it looks like there are reports out there that say we're submitting a $13 million bid.
Which I don't know how you go lower.
Well, I think this. So
but there's more to it.
So the details on the deal as it's being reported right now is it's $13 million plus Independiente will get a 30% of whatever Atlanta United sells them for. So that actually makes sense for them, from an economic perspective.
But that means it could be $20 million at some point, as opposed to give me $20 million now.
Yeah.
Which was kind of their initial. It's been very hysterical. We talked about this also before. All of their reactions have been very blown out of proportion.
So dramatic.
Yes, he's worth more after the Copa Sudamerica kind of final. Right. I agree. But $22 million is too much. And then you say you reject the Atlanta bid, he's not worth. And there's other clubs coming in for him. No one comes in. I mean, it's very hysterical and transparent. And then when Barco holds out of training with that says he's gone. You can't fool anyone. We know that you're going to sell him and he doesn't need to be there. And it just forces Independiente's hand, and I think they have a lot of egg on their face here because they've negotiated in such a bizarre and bombastic manner that they're...
Well, who would want to play for a team that does this?
Exactly. And it doesn't look good for them.
If you're not going to let the player go where he wants to go at what is reasonably a fair value, maybe not what they want for him, maybe not what they value him at, but a fair value. This is like selling a used car. You're always going to value it more than what the next person really values it for. It's because it's your car. It's your baby.
Sure.
He's your player that you helped however you helped grow through the ranks. He's your young phenom, and now you valued him at this price, or you valued him at a price before, and then you saw how much interest there was, and you jumped the price up, or you thought there was, and you jumped the price up to a value that's unreasonable. And here's Atlanta United giving you something that is reasonable, and you're saying no.
I mean, I think
blatantly saying no.
Yeah, like
giving you the middle finger and saying no.
So, I mean, I know some people are kind of worried that, you know, he's like sitting out of training, and, you know, it's a little bit, you know, like, you know, you're too good for this or whatnot. I think it comes down to, was Barco mistreated in terms of was he lied to, essentially? Like, was he told that there was a number that he could get a transfer for, and then that was reneged? Because in that case, then I totally support him kind of, you know, taking a stand on his own future, and, you know, by forcing Independiente and holding their feet to the fire and making sure that they follow through on what they said. I do, like, if he's just arguing about, oh, well, this is worth what I'm, you know, this transfer fee is worth my value, then, you know, I don't know. I kind of see where people are coming from. Like, honestly, like, we'll think about this differently if Miguel Almirón, like, sat out of training or something.
Right.
Because, you know, we didn't think a bid was too high. We would think much differently about it. But I think it really comes down to, and we don't know the answer to this necessarily, but, like, was Barco treated fairly by Independiente, you know?
Yeah, I don't know a lot of the ins and outs with it, but the most recent example I can pull from, we can pull from, is Virgil van Dijk, you know, in terms of pulling out, not going to training, training alone. And that's, the most recent example we have. And ultimately, that move did happen. Obviously, we just saw that. So
yeah. I mean,
You've got Dembele, obviously. The Dembele, Ousmane Dembele transfer to Barcelona is another one. Usually when you, just in terms of when this happens, usually the player gets his way. And it's because usually the player has a reason and they're not just throwing a fit, which I think indicates what you're saying, Joe. A bid was all but accepted. He was all but out the door. And Independiente certainly did not come out before the, excuse me, before the cup final and say, no, we rejected the $12 million bid. You know, they didn't reject any of the reports. They didn't poo-poo any of them at all. They didn't claim he was worth more until suddenly after the final. So everything to me here indicates that he was sure that he was not just leaving Independiente, but also on his way to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I obviously we're biased, but the second he didn't show up in training as an Atlanta fan, you have to love that, because just historically, that typically means the player is going to get his way and force a move, especially with a player that is worth that much, and considering Independiente are in debt and they need the money.
Yep.
So it just, everything is pointing towards exactly what you're saying, Joe, that he's fed up.
I mean, that was the turning point for me last night. When that news came out, that was the turning point where I was thinking, we're actually going to get him. Because,
yeah, same here.
Like, you can't, and then after that happened, I was trying to rack my brain to think, how many times can I just think of off the top of my head where this situation has happened and the player didn't move? And I could only think of one, which was, I'm sure there's more, but just off the top of my head, I could only think of the David De Gea. And that was only because Manchester United didn't get the paperwork in on time, which I'm sure was, on purpose.
Here's the other thing. And this is half the reason I think that he's going to Atlanta United, is because any team that wants to put in a bid knows that they don't even have to beat Atlanta United at this point. Because if Atlanta United's not going to get him for $13 million, they don't have to. I mean, fine. You don't want to send him to Atlanta United because of out of principle or whatever reason you want to give us, because he's with MLS, fine. We'll give you $10 million for him.
Absolutely.
We'll give you $10 million for him, and you can get away with him. You don't have to give him to MLS. But that makes him look dumb. No one's going to do that. No one's going to go above Atlanta United because no one values him that highly. I'm not saying he's not good, but no one values him that highly at this point. You're going to pay that much money for him.
If they would have made the bid, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're going to pay that much money for him, you need him to be a starter. And if you're going to Europe, I don't know that he's ready just yet.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta's going to pay him like a starter. You know,
exactly.
They're going to ask him to start.
And that's why
he wants to come to Atlanta specifically. I'm sure there's a lot of other factors, you know, playing for Tata Martino, the lifestyle of living in America.
It's crazy that in 1 year we're such an attractive place to come. I mean, that you're going and plucking players of this caliber from Argentina, and they're holding out of training at a club like Independiente, saying, I don't want to be in Independiente, I want to be in Atlanta. I never thought we'd be here. I mean, it's just crazy to think about.
I know we talked about it a little bit, but it looks great for Atlanta United because you got a player so young and talented that wants to come here and prove his... He wants to come here and play. How often do you see a guy get bought and move to Europe or whatever, any other part of the world, and he rides the bench for a time until he can find his feet? Here, he's going to start day one.
Yeah,
it's pretty much well understood that he's going to, if he comes here, he's starting day one. He's going to be replacing, presumably, Emil Assad. You can't do that in Europe. You're doing that here with Atlanta United, in MLS, in this kind of a league.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you've got the lifestyle that you want. Probably, you could argue it's better in the sense that you don't have the crazies like you do in Europe over here in the United States. You saw how everyone after the game, after the playoff game, all the players were talking about how, we lost and they still loved us. Yeah. That's going to be huge, not just for Barco, but for any other big-name player down the road. That's a reason, as a young player, you want to come here and improve and grow under someone like Tata. And at the same time, you look at Independiente and how much you wouldn't want to play there considering what they're doing right now.
Yeah, I mean,
much as a young player you wouldn't want to be involved in that.
The manager quit after the season when they won Copa Sudamericana because, you know, he was getting death threats. I don't mean to, like, insult their fan base. It's just a cultural thing, you know. It's just a different way of life, really, and of supporting soccer. I was just going to say, I hope that this transfer kind of represents... We've talked about how Atlanta is, like, you know, MLS 15.0 or whatever, whatever we call it now.
Yeah.
But like, I really hope that transfers like this, and like you were saying, how players seem to want to come to this league, I hope that, you know, this transfer can be kind of like a harbinger of things to come, where, you know, it, which kind of represents like a new era of the league where we're a desirable destination. We're a destination where young players want to come to develop, not only to develop, but to increase their economic value while they're here. Which means we need to sell players, you know, when they start to reach their prime years. That's kind of, you know, obviously I love it for Atlanta United as a fan. But I also, you know, I like it. I think it's good for the league in general that we're, you know, reaching out, getting legitimate top young talent,
that want to be here.
Yeah.
Because there's never been anyone like this. Yeah. I mean,
there's not really a good comparison.
I can't think of a saga. Saga would be the word I would use at this point.
Telenovela, I think it's more appropriate.
That's also appropriate. But I can't think, you know, there's so much emotion. You can feel like the emotion behind all this, like you were mentioning earlier. And this is dealing with a club that's been around since 1905, I had written down here. So Independiente with that much history, and all of a sudden we're in this.
Well, it's
transfer.
One of the big Argentinian clubs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're right, Joe, and I think we're already kind of seeing this happen with some of the moves LAFC has made. Obviously, New York being linked with I can't remember his play. The move fell through. The player from Huracan.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name now. But what we're seeing, the point. Yeah, me too. The point is that we're seeing the wheels in motion with players wanting to come here, and also I think clubs in general just realizing that's a legitimate talent pool that they can target. I would question why no one in the MLS has figured this out before, but but it's good to. But whatever is good is good, and it's good to see the league. Encouraging this, first of all, the increased discretionary spending with more TAM this season, and also just teams starting to look down in that area for more players. One thing I wanted to bring up with the Ezequiel Barco thing that I thought was really crazy today, and we're talking about Independiente, was that Independiente's official Twitter account today tweeted out literally just a list of 32 guys who trained today in the preseason. No one does that. And then write, you know, Ezequiel Barco did not attend, which is like, first of all, it's very petty. It's kind of like middle school, like gossipy type thing. But also it shows they've completely given up on him being a part of the setup. So, I mean, we're talking about those transfers working out. Obviously, New York's version did not. But if you get a player like him here, he's going to be a real big fish in a small pond, and a lot of other guys are going to want to follow.
That tweet reminded me of like a bitchy corporate memo that you get where it's like, all right, we had the staff meeting, and
this person didn't show up.
Bobby, where were you?
Just so you know, I didn't. Yeah.
And I'm copying everyone else in it who was in the meeting, and all your bosses.
Can you imagine just...
First of all,
they just posted a list of players that showed up to training.
I can't believe a professional organization would be that petty and be that that direct with how they feel about the whole situation.
Yeah.
Like they're owed something.
The only thing missing from that tweet was the ellipsis at the end. Just the dot, dot, dot.
Very passive-aggressive.
That's very corporate,
passive-aggressive. Never seen anything like that. But again, I mean, it's clear that bridge is burnt. And Independiente
you can't tweet something like that and expect him to stay.
It's ridiculous.
And from Barco's point of view, you can't skip training and then expect to, you know, at that point you're never stepping field on.
Yeah,
stepping on that field.
That's done.
Like the fans will never accept you after that. So I mean, the transfer got forced.
They loved
it burned the bridge.
They loved him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And how much can change in just 2 weeks in the soccer world, I guess.
But he was overrated. He was overrated before. Then he was great. Don't sell him. Now he's
underrated by Atlanta United.
Yeah.
Right. It's a crazy thing altogether. But it's been interesting to follow, and I think this will be the first of many kind of strange forays into South America that we see with Atlanta United and just the way that business is done there. And also we're seeing, I think, the way they treated Atlanta United, I thought with being so transparent and obvious in negotiations, it seemed like they didn't really take Atlanta United very seriously in the negotiations. And it seems to me like we've played them like a fiddle pretty much. I mean, they look bad. They look really bad. They look vindictive. And now they're going to lose a guy that maybe they could have gotten more for if they had played the game a little smarter from day one.
Yeah, it clearly backfired. That approach, given that tweet today.
I would say I think when we go on next week it'll be done.
Yeah, I agree.
It feels like we're right on the cusp of making this happen because we know that he's not coming back to Independiente. We know they have to sell him, and we know that there are no other bids for him. So it's as simple as that.
At least as of yet. I mean, I feel like it would have hurt something by now.
Yeah. But by him not showing up to training, it makes it harder for them to wait the whole January window to get another bid. And then that may, I think that really advanced all this a lot more than it could have dragged on a little longer.
I want Darren Eales to use his like Tottenham connections to be like, can you just put in a bid for like $11 million for this kid? Just throw some bone.
Just go,
That way they know what the deal is, and that way they can send him to us for more money. Yeah. And it would be hilarious that they send him to Tottenham and he gets loaned to Atlanta United.
Yeah.
That would be the full circle of everything and just the big FU to Independiente. But whatever, the saga goes on. I think ultimately they're not going to get the $20 million they're asking for.
That's clear.
And I think the bigger message is how badly the bigger thing I take away from this, aside from the saga, aside from you know, transfer craziness, and that this paired with a couple other things that we're about to talk about in what's going on with or what has recently been going on with the Emil Assad and Carlos Carmona is how badly these players like this want to play with Atlanta. And Emil and Carmona kind of did it two different ways. We obviously know what the Barco thing. So we'll move on from that. But Yamil obviously going on national media or international media, I guess, or to the media and basically saying, I'm sad that I'm not involved in the offseason or I'm not going to be included in the offseason plans for Atlanta United. Giving the sense that he really wants to be there. And he's a young talent that's going to make a name for himself in the sport. He's going to have a ton of opportunities if he doesn't have offers already lined up at the door. And the fact that he wants to be back in Atlanta with his friends, under Tata, with the atmosphere and the crowd that he helped build, says a lot. The fact that Carlos rejected a bid from Colo-Colo to rejoin Atlanta United, presumably, whatever.
Yeah, a report came out today that said that he was never going to join Colo-Colo, even if they could match what he...
Exactly. You know, that says a lot, because you have these...
And that's a Chilean not wanting to go back to one of the biggest clubs in his country.
Exactly. It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, that's... And he's 30, 31. A lot of guys want to go home at that age, and he'd rather be here.
It just says a lot. For players like that to want to go back to Atlanta, it just says a lot about what Atlanta United is doing, the atmosphere they've created, the fan base they've garnered, and the support that you, the fans listening, have given them. It says a lot. It's unbelievable because if you asked me this was going to happen 2 years ago, I'd have been like, nah.
Yeah.
Like 2 months ago, honestly. Like, I said this on the last couple times. When I heard Barco's name for the first time, I was like, get out of here. Like, that guy is, you know, one of the, like, legit top young players in the world. It seems like every day we kind of live up to this hype, and I keep thinking that I just sound like a ridiculous optimistic homer all the time, but that they keep doing what they say they're going
to
do.
Not to sound snide here or anything, but do you remember when, you know, pundits and fans from around MLS said we weren't going to be able to recruit players because we played on turf?
Right.
Because we played on artificial surface? It's like, it's funny to think about now.
No, they're great.
I didn't say that. I wrote about, from the pundits. So I wrote a series for Dirty South Soccer. It was like a, you know, playful scouting series where I would find these South American players through this video game Football Manager and then kind of find some YouTube videos and kind of use their ratings in the game plus the YouTube video to kind of see if they're any good and report on what I found. And the one I found in on Barco, I remember he was the first one. He was the best player I found. And I was like, I kind of wrote it as a joke. You know, I was like, this would be nice, but you know, we can always dream, you know, we can always daydream about getting players like this. And then
it seemed almost like a
couple months later,
it seemed like we had just reached that level where agents could make up lies about players coming to us to use us as leverage. Mm-hmm. It felt like we had reached that level. We're like, okay, now that the South American media, now we're like a big hot
the
story
Tottenham
where you
level.
Can make it up. Yeah, exactly. Where
I'm
you can
a Tottenham
just,
fan, by the
you
way.
You can just kind of get linked with, you know, we were a legitimate link, but I was just like, you know, it's not real. It's just something that gets floated out there because we're being connected with these types of players. And turns out it's legit. I mean, he's actually wants to come.
And I mean, and to take it back to these two players, like Carmona, he is, you know, his wife is pregnant. He's got, you know, family situation arising in the near future.
He's in the United States.
And it's been reported that he wants to, you know, raise his son in Chile, but he's still, you know, yeah, he's that comfortable here that he's willing to stay here. And I think
you're not getting death threats. You're you know, you've got the same lifestyle, if not a better one, than you would in Europe.
It's a huge testament to really just everyone involved in the club. You can't really single it down to one or two or even three people. I mean, obviously you have Arthur Blank, who starts the whole thing. You have Darren Eales, who kind of, you know, is running this whole ship. But you've got, you know, everything from the training ground to, you know, the fans create an amazing atmosphere in the stadium to, and all the way down to, you know, the food they're eating, the restaurants they eat at. It's almost like a testament to the whole community that that they feel so comfortable in this place that should be very foreign to them. You know, it should be a very strange place compared to the style of life they've lived for, you know, 20 plus years. America's kind of a different type of place, but they love it here, which
is amazing. I'm no longer – the only time I'll get scared of a potential transfer rumor is like if it's a Miggy situation where he's getting talk or we're hearing talk from teams in like the Premier League or La Liga or something like that. That's the only time I'll get nervous. If you're talking about – if you're comparing Atlanta United specifically to a team in any other league that's not basically Europe, I'm not worried at all at this point. And before, I wouldn't say that. Because before, I would have been like, well, if they offer more money, I could see why they would go.
Yeah, definitely.
If China offered more money for a player, I could see why they would go.
Yeah.
Now,
and
Oscar, I'm not worried.
Oscar Romero did go, you know, like, and that was kind of before.
That well, was I don't
like,
know. Was that ever true?
I'm pretty sure that was true. I'm pretty sure we basically had Oscar Romero. We had a deal nailed down with them, and then China came in with more. I mean, they came in with a better offer, sure. But, I mean, I think that was kind of the last point where you could say that we weren't an amazing club to play at, you know, that a club that
MOTS
players
after dark.
wanted to play.
And we're back
after dark.
Yeah. So I know I agree with you. By the way, if you're not watching on the Facebook Live, the lights go off at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock.
I thought we're not supposed to mention that
probably
anymore.
Should have copyrighted
is that right?
yeah.
I think they might have. I don't know. Whatever. They claim the whole Orlando's
okay,
not the
they
South.
Love me.
They claim the whole Orlando's not the South thing was
right,
their creation.
Right. This is a big battle.
I'm very confident in that. You can hear way before their podcast started any Atlanta United stuff that you can hear Orlando's not the South at some point in our podcast in the past.
There's only one way to settle this debate.
There's like 110 episodes. I'm not about to
We're
go through
just
all
in
of
life.
Them.
I don't think that's like a new concept, is it?
I'm just kidding.
And it's Home a fight dark. In the parking lot.
I love you guys.
Maybe you made it popular, but we all knew Orlando sucked way before them. So
about to start some serious like podcast beef.
No one knew Orlando sucked
I love
before
you guys.
We brought it up.
Home before dark. Don't worry.
No, of course.
Did you hear Darren on 92.9 earlier today kind of dropped the subtle Orlando hasn't qualified for the playoffs for
no
I didn't hear that interview today. He just wanted to put it out there. She's like, they're still seeking their first playoff, you know, appearance. So they're really, you know, bolstering the squad with some senior players. So obviously
I love Darren Eales. He's amazing.
It was subtle, but it was there. I heard it, Darren.
I'm glad you brought that up. He also mentioned that the offseason moves might not be done. He gave us a little hint that you know, we might there's still some things in the works, it looks like, to not be surprised.
I mean,
something comes up.
But here's
the thing. If Barco doesn't fall through, which we all assume, and he didn't say anything on Barco because
he sidestepped.
He's not.
Can't comment.
They just openly. Anytime you ask him about a transfer rumor type thing, we can't talk about players under contract. And that's everything that's always been the case with anyone that's worked for under Arthur Blank.
Yeah.
Can't
and that's a big advantage when you are asked that, you know, maybe once, maybe on that interview and that's it. Whereas in Independiente, you've got all kinds of people hounding you, asking you, trying to get leaks out of the club. So, yeah, I mean, he's good. He does a really good job when he goes on those interviews, obviously. But I think it's, in terms of negotiating, I mean, we've talked about the negotiation process for Barco. When that's all it is, when that's all you really have to deal with is you sidestepping one question, it makes it so much easier to negotiate. And he did a good job. I mean, he just kind of pushed the question to this side and said, look, but he still put forward the marketing ploy and said, we're going to bring players in. Just can't say who.
Exactly. So, the one thing I want to talk about, because there are a lot of people that want to sign Assad. They want him to come back. They want him as a full-time member of the first team. Understandably, everyone loves him. Apparently, he has cute ears. or something. I don't know.
He does have great ears. I've never denied that.
I'm sorry, I've never noticed that.
I feel Kelly overrates that a little bit, but you know.
I think it was either Darren. I forget who it was. Either Darren or Yamila said that. It was Darren that said that we would bring him back if it made financial sense. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone needs to kind of look at that and dissect what that could mean. Financial sense for both the player and the club. Assad might be envisioning his role to be similar, if he were to come back, to be similar to what he did in 2017, whereas the club might not. And if he were to be brought back, would be asked to play a much more reserved role, first guy off the bench type of role, especially if he's signed by Barco. And I think that's where ultimately the business decision of this whole thing, I'm sure both of them want him back.
Yeah.
Both Assad wants to be back in Atlanta. Both Atlanta United want Assad back because he's such a great player. He was a valuable cog in what made Atlanta United run in 2017. Personality was there. He was a guy you wanted on your team.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just doesn't make financial sense because the two sides are envisioning two different 2018s.
Right, yeah. And especially, the structure of MLS.
I'm sure that's a big part of it, but the way Atlanta United operates, I'm sure they're going to find some way around that.
Yeah.
It's just I don't think both of them are envisioning the same things. And I think that's what the fans sometimes don't understand is that you're not – if you sign Assad and sign Barco, Assad is suddenly – not in the starting 11.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you need
pretty
some,
much at all.
You need some squad balance.
Not
too,
at all.
You know?
But it's like, not at all. But I will say that he would take a major step back, and he would be asked to take that pay cut for the role that he would be playing in 2018, as opposed to what he did in 2017. You're not paying him for what he's done. You're going to pay him for what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And I love when owners, managers, when front offices take that approach. We're going to pay you for what you're going to do for us from now on, not when you already did. NFL has a lot to learn when it comes to that. I love that this is the approach that someone like Darren Eales and Atlanta United seem to be taking with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a sad situation overall. Like, reading that Univision piece, it was legit sad.
Yeah,
I was like, oh man.
Yeah,
and when Yamil was like, yeah, you know, they decided to go in a different direction with Barco, whatever.
I can't believe they asked him.
I can't believe they asked him,
you know, how do you feel about them spending all this money potentially spending all this money on someone like Barco and, you know, not really offering you much in that sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're really going to ask him that? Like, I mean, you can't compare. You can, but it's not going to be in Assad's favor if you try to compare the two.
I know. It's not a fair comparison.
Better than the other.
Yeah. I mean, Barco was
and
named.
And if you get Barco, you're not going to sign Assad and ask him to do the same thing. So why would you pay him to do the same things?
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
And I don't think he would
love
want Assad.
I just don't get me wrong. I love what he did, but.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that would want to be first guy off the bench either. I mean, I think he wants to be around the 11.
If he doesn't want to be that guy, if he can't accept that role, you don't want him on your team. And I think that's where the big disconnect is going to be. Because even if you could sign him, he wouldn't want to be in that role.
I was encouraged that the club lacked the sentimentality that we have about Yamil Assad. As a fan of the team, like, obviously, he ran through a wall for the club. In some ways, maybe reinvigorated his career. I mean, when he came here, the reports he was low on confidence. You know, it was not high in the pecking order at Velez. But there's no doubt that Ezequiel Barco was a better player. And I mean, I hear you say maybe you can argue otherwise. But to me, what he's done and what he has in front of him as an 18-year-old makes him a clear upgrade in terms of the big picture. Maybe you can question if he comes in right away and does the job that Assad did, who was a more experienced player. But I think the ceiling with you're taking Barco over Assad every day.
Not only that, but you have, and I hate to be that guy, but you have to consider what his sell-on value is going to be.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Assad is just not as high as Barco.
Well, Barco was a
that's not
Copa Sud. He was a Copa Sud America best 11 player. And that's not just Argentina. That's the entire South America best 11.
And I mean, that's not the only thing that I'd be worried that I'm considering when it comes to what his sell on value is. But you pair that with what he can do on the field, with what he can contribute, with what Atlanta seemed to lack, and what he gives you going into 2018. Should that be the case? I mean, it's an easy choice. It's a business decision as much as it is an emotional one, because you want this team to continue succeeding, and you want it to get better, and you want to, you know, be as attractive for young, talented players as you can be, and this is exactly the way to do it.
Yeah.
I think that was a really good point you made, Josh, about, you know, Atlanta United's clearly not, you know, afraid to make the hard, those, some of these hard calls that you do have to make. And, you know, also looking at it from Velez's point of view, they are struggling. Last I checked, I think they're 19th in the table.
Yeah.
And they just have the new, their new manager, Gabriel Heinze, you know, and so he's trying to probably hold on to him. He could be a part, you know, an important piece of what they're doing. I think that's also a possible side of what's going on too. They might really want to hold on to him.
But. And he's been training with them, and so yeah, I mean that could be a big part of it. I mean, they sent him on loan for a reason, and potentially because they saw the talent there, but just didn't.
It may have worked in their favor.
It makes sense when you watch Assad. I mean, and we talk about overreacting fans in South America, but it makes sense why he frustrates some of the fans when you watch his game.
For sure.
And that's a type of game that in order to make it work, you got to get minutes. Mm-hmm. And he was in a position with an expansion team here where you could throw him out there, play him 90 minutes week in, week out, and he clearly kind of made a name for himself playing the game that he wanted to play, and maybe they want him to fit into that role there. Mm-hmm. But any way you look at it with Assad, and this is something that a lot of people have disagreed with me on, I really just don't think he's that special. I mean, I think if you have that pipeline into South Bear, I know he's a great...
I agree.
A great passer, so we're going to miss his passing. But he gives you nothing really in terms of goal scoring. I think his work rate, people talk about work rate or defensive work from a winger, most of that is just effort.
Barco will give us plenty of work.
Barco will do that too.
Yeah, that's more of a motivation and fitness
exactly.
issue.
So he's not a very pacey player. Barco was a pacey player, you know. So I think with you, there are, and
I always
aside
complain
from
about
Barco,
Assad's first touch, or not even his first touch, but it's just like he always takes the extra touch after he doesn't play it.
Absolutely.
First touch.
He is guilty of overplaying a lot.
Yeah.
And In a system like ours where there's a lot of space a lot of times when the wingers get very isolated at times, if you lose it in that position, you're basically – the opposition has 20 yards to dribble right at your goal if you lose it out on an island like that. And he was a player that did that to almost a maddeningly inconsistent degree. I mean, there were games where he would give up the ball two or three times around midfield and there'd be a chance going the other way. So I think it's important that we take a step back even though we love Yamil and he will always hopefully be beloved here and realize that there are a lot of upgrades out there.
I'd go ahead and make the statue for him just for the first goal.
I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, I would.
Well, I mean,
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
I mean, he frustrated me pretty often, but he also had moments of magic, really.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and he was a consummate professional while he was here. Mm-hmm. And I think that was so important for Atlanta United in their first season to have a team full of really good professionals who didn't let, you know, distractions or adversity, like it being your first season and, you know, sure, you're trying to get familiar with your teammates, like that kind of thing. He was just a great, great fit, and he fit right into the team. But yeah, I mean, Barco will be better technically.
Yeah.
He'll bring more ability and quality to the side.
And I think we'll see him improve as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
at
that age. You know, it's tough business, but I mean, Eric hit the nail on the head. I mean, it doesn't make financial sense to allot all of this portion of your salary cap, and surely he's going to want a good amount of money for a guy that doesn't have a place in your starting 11, no matter how you slice it. So I think it makes sense for the club to do what they did. And one thing, Joe, you've mentioned a few times, I think it makes a lot of sense, is that if Assad maybe ends up somewhere else in MLS.
Please don't. It's going to make me so sad.
Which I know, but yeah, I could see it. I mean,
he said he wanted to come back to the league. I mean, he said,
yeah,
you know, he loves Atlanta, but he said he loved the league too, the experience of playing in MLS.
Yeah. Can you see LAFC coming in potentially?
Oh, absolutely.
I definitely could. And I don't know how, like, it all shakes out with, like, who has the rights to sign him or whatnot.
I think
there's so much
the discovery order.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's a ton of red tape.
LAFC, just like Atlanta United, is going to find a way to get the players that they want to get.
Yeah, exactly.
They're gonna poke Don Garber in whatever ways they need to poke him. They'll find a way.
Yeah,
I'm curious what Velez is asking for him. Any guesses, any thoughts to that?
See, here's the thing. I bet for MLS clubs, it'll be a lot higher than for anyone else.
Absolutely.
Especially any club in South America, they're not going to ask for they're probably not going to ask for or need to ask for as much as they will or want to ask for an MLS team. Just because MLS, you've seen him. They know he's a success in MLS or he'll be a relatively good
player. His value is higher in MLS than anywhere other
league. You know, this is a really kind of – if his value is what I think it is, which is like in like – 2-3 million, something like that.
Yeah.
I actually think that that's like a really bad situation for him because of the way that MLS is set up with TAM, where like if you make him a DP, he's like
he's not
okay. He's not like an amazing DP, but he's also a super expensive TAM player. So he's like kind of in that middle ground where you don't know how to justifiably add him to the roster.
Yeah.
Whether it's as a DP or as a TAM player. And I think that that's – I think he'll – if I had to predict, I would think he would come back to MLS on a free transfer after his deal at Velez expires.
Mm-hmm.
We exhausted those?
Yeah, well, I think that the Carmona staying is a lot bigger than the Assad.
Yeah,
we're
going to
talk
same
about
here.
Assad leaving, but we'll talk about Nagby and Laurentiis and all that going forward. I think it's so critical that you have another guy that can – play the Darlington Nagby role, but is just a better defensive player and better tackler than Nagby. So it gives you different looks that you can play through the middle. That you can go Carmona Nagby if you want to have a little bit more of a mobile center mid pairing, or you can have a traditional 6 and number 8 with Nagby and Laurentiis, or you can just go with the old school Carmona Laurentiis and just lock down defensively. I think it's massive that Carmona is staying.
Well, is it the general understanding that it's going to be Carmona and Nagby playing alongside each other?
I think that's what we think, right? That's going to be interesting to look at.
I cannot wait for the season because I cannot wait to see how this plays out.
It was brought up in the chat, and I wanted to bring it up because we just talked about it regarding Assad. Jeff Laurentiis, he was re-signed, and I got to think that he was asked to take a reduced role.
Mm-hmm.
In some role,
yes. Center back too.
I think he would want to do that too. I mean, I think he played more than he expected last year.
Right, at his age. And look, I'm not saying it's a bad thing because for someone like him to have balled out the way he did in 2017, you can do that in 2018, especially if he's not as taxed throughout the season.
Sure.
He's probably more beneficial to you as someone that comes off the bench in a needed situation than if he's playing every game in, game out.
Yeah,
over the course.
And
that's
I
a
like
good point.
The idea of like you will go on the road and maybe you want a little bit more of a defensive setup and you can go to Carmona and Laurentiis and even maybe Nagby wide if you want to.
Or put him in front of both of those.
You play Laurentiis in front of them. You kind of have
more
spacing vertically.
Exactly. I mean the options are endless. But
here's the thing: it's the depth that we were looking for in 2017. He provides us that now.
Yeah.
He himself, just by getting re-signed, is the depth that we needed. And as much as that's a reduced role, it's still a key piece in what Atlanta United needs for 2018 to continue to improve.
And I still wonder about center back. You know,
exactly.
I still wonder about center back depth, and I think there's a good possibility that that is what they were talking to him about.
I think we definitely need. I think we definitely need to add. You're talking about Darren Eales talking about how there might be more players coming. I still think we need a center back or a right back because Franco Escobar can kind of play either one. I personally think he would be a better center back. And I think maybe he would take over that role longer term, but he plays right back this year.
And you want an out and out right back that not like slash right back. You want like a Garza version on the right who is
giving Tata Martino a chance to set up the team in his vision. He wants a flying fullback.
And that was, he wants Darlington Nagby at center midfield. That's how aggressive he is, and you want a right back that gets forward in that way. That was the one position last year that there was never really a Tata Martino-type player there, although Anton Walks did a great job, but there was never that kind of almost wing-back type of player on the right side.
He was a square peg in the round hole
exactly,
the entire time.
Exactly. And he was expected to play center back, and it didn't work with Mears. So.
Time out. Give me, as quick as you can, give me your back line. Right now, not necessarily four, but give me your back line right now.
I think it's Garza on the left, the same two from last year in the center, Parkey and LGP, and I guess you have to go Escobar on the right.
Right now.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
But I do feel like you say, Joey, he's definitely, we're going to see an out-and-out right-back signed to this roster, whether it's someone to rotate.
At least you need
with Escobar. Because here's the thing, you guys kept mentioning center backs, and I'm starting to think, well, you're not getting rid of Leandro Gonzalez-Perez. You're talking about doing something with Michael Parkhurst.
Mm-hmm.
unless you're asking these players to, in a pinch, play a center back role when he or Leandro Gonzalez Perez can't play.
Sure. And I think one of the reasons that you buy Escobar is to give you a younger, to kind of, I mean, we talk about reasons for Parkhurst maybe in particular to sit. Obviously, Perez is going to play. I think the reason you sign Escobar is if you're playing a team that can expose Parkhurst because of his lack of pace, God, he's slow, things like that. Great at reading the game, but man, he's slow. You have a guy who is a little bit more Perez than Parkhurst, and you can put in there. So it's hard to say what's going to happen at right back.
Do we have any inklings on Walks' situation? I know he's not
Like he's gone.
I don't see him.
I haven't seen the latest.
Because I'm a Tottenham
time
fan.
Time out. If he's back on loan, he's the depth that we need.
But I just think Escobar fills that role that Walks filled in sort of like a right back / center back. I feel like he was almost brought in to replace Walks in terms of providing that depth. And we'll look elsewhere for an out-and-out right back as opposed to Walks.
Honestly, from a Tottenham perspective, I think they're at the point where they just want to make some money off of him. And, I mean, there's no reason for them to keep loaning him out and let his contract
run down. I mean, I'm just interested.
Not great. He's kind of above average, but not like never been one of the shining stars there. They moved him around a ton in when he was in the youth setup playing for the U21s. Okay. He's played striker. Like he's played, maybe not striker, but he played in a 10 role. He's played everywhere.
And
English football.
That was
right?
A different time. Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah. But yeah, no, he's played everywhere. And we kind of saw that when he came here. Like you could tell he had some quality, but at center back, like you could tell he was not very. He was not really in command in that position. He would lose focus. You could tell, you know, he had some quality on it with his feet, but. Mm-hmm.
So can
he didn't fit in real great.
Are we all agreeing that if the season starts tomorrow, which it doesn't, and we're doing this on January 4th, so we have to talk like it's January 4th, Escobar is the right back, right? If we're starting, if the season starts tomorrow.
Here's the thing. Look,
can I get brain explosion?
Yeah, yeah.
Going
speculate
on?
Yeah. Wildly, man.
3-4-3.
3-4-3, yeah. Well, and that's another reason that I think you signed Escobar and bring back Laurentiewicz because you need all of those guys to trust in when you're going to go to three. And it's particularly a guy like Laurentiewicz that can drop, as we always talk about, drops in between the two center backs. Okay. So I think, there's a lot indicating here that we might be seeing a little bit more back three this season.
If you played a 3-4-3, you would have LGP on the left, Parkhurst in the middle, Escobar on the right. And then you would play, and then your four across the midfield would be, Garza on the left. It would be that your two center mids would be Nagby and Carmona, and then maybe Tito just up that right flank. And you could just tell Franco Escobar, you know, listen, he's going to be a little more offensive than Garza's going to be. You know, there's a little balance here and there. And then you just have the front three.
And
of
I think that's
Almiron
another formation where we might see Nagby wide a little bit too, and you can play Laurentiewicz and Carmona just kind of sitting, and then just turn everyone else loose.
I think the one thing that we can take from all these transfers is that all these players are very fluid and there's a lot of versatility. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very South American thing where you want players that are just kind of
that's really requirement number
all the
one.
Time.
Is can you play in the system? Can you be a right back that presses to the attacking half to the opposite corner flag and get the ball and actually provide some quality.
Every player needs to be comfortable with the ball at their feet. You know, every player needs to know how to play.
One of the things they talk about a lot in baseball that managers do before, like during spring training and before the season starts, is they'll take, you know, they'll make 3 million starting lineups, starting batting orders, or they'll mess with the pitching lineup or whatever. How often or how many times do you think Tata has, you know, on his notepad, gone back and forth as to who's playing what, where.
That's probably his favorite thing to do.
What formation. Like, I bet he's got a whole notebook just flip over.
If his meeting with Eels and Boca Negra,
if it's anything like that, he's
six-hour
got an
meeting where they're using the
papers.
Salt shakers, and that was on day one before they didn't even have any players. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like now.
I'm pretty sure Tata's offseason is him playing football manager at whatever you mentioned.
My guy.
And he's definitely going very fluid with the positioning on Football Manager for sure. Not structured. We're going to get way too deep into the fact we play Football Manager. This is not good. This isn't going well.
It's a game for numbers people, and I'm not that. any last things? We got to move on. No, we're good?
Last? Or just
no.
Next thing?
I'm just saying anything regarding that. So the Atlanta United schedule came out. All the MLS schedules came out. Atlanta United, 34 matches, 16 times are going to be played on national TV. I think
it's like almost half our games.
I think Darren Eels.
Does LAFC have?
I think Darren Eels was saying that it's the most. I guess the joint most. Over all of MLS, the big one that I think is awesome, and I heard him talking about this on 99. The game on Fox against the Seattle Sounders, mm-hmm. July 15th. Let's play a game. What else is going on this summer? In the case you didn't hear the interview, and I know some of you didn't, but what's going on this summer? Next summer? Well, I get this summer.
Well, yeah, now that I know the U.S. isn't playing, so I don't know. I'm not too sure.
There's something.
There's nothing on the U.S. schedule.
She Believes Cup, I think, at some point.
She Believes
That's
Cup.
It. Yeah.
She Believes
that's
Cup.
That's the FIFA guy right there.
Yeah, right. It's your plug-in.
Seriously.
The World Cup. And that Seattle Sounders game is on July 15th. And what is generally in mid-July?
The World Cup. Big one. World Cup final, right?
World Cup.
Yeah.
It's going to be played. This game is going to be played after the World Cup.
How amazing is that?
On Big Fox. And Daniels was talking about how on 99 that it could be the most watched game in U.S. history. Watched soccer game in U.S. history. I think that was what he said. I forget. I don't think he said internationally, but
I had
that's a big one.
I had a bit of a sad that's today a big one. When I was like thinking about that. I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing.
No,
I
know where you're going.
I'm going to get so drunk.
Time out.
Wait,
time
I have
out,
to work that game. But I like to do it. So, I mean.
But let's be real. We knew United States was likely not going to be in that game July 15th.
Of course.
You knew. Yeah, I know. I just, you knew it. That's why I was unsure of what the whole tournament was this summer, because I just saw blank on the U.S. slate. But now we know. This whole World Cup thing is happening.
We play Orlando City twice. I'm trying to think.
Twice on the road,
last year.
How do you guys think it's going to play out with the World Cup final leading into an MLS game? I brought this up in our writers' room.
I think it's going to be huge.
Well, I'm just talking about, do you think it will make MLS look like bad? Because I think MLS games are very entertaining, and I think that the Atlanta-Seattle game will likely be very much more entertaining as a game than the final. But I just feel like, the quality is obviously much higher in the World Cup final.
Get ready to hear Tata's name like 15,000 times.
Yeah, that's
because
for sure.
That's going to be one of the recognizable names that everyone, whether you're in the U.S., a U.S. soccer fan or an international soccer fan, or not someone that lives in the U.S. watching soccer, you're going to recognize that name. You may recognize Miguel Almiron. As a U.S. soccer fan, you're going to recognize who Atlanta United is. You know who they are. You know that they're an exciting style of play. Hopefully by that point, they've proven 2018 is going to be, once again, their year, whatever.
What if Argentina's in the final?
That'd be huge. Yeah.
That'd be
would we be able to play our Argentine players, or would they just be considered out for that game?
Like, we're busy.
Yeah.
Couldn't make
loss.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the World Cup's the 10 a.m. start time. The final is at 10 a.m., and then we're at 2 o'clock in Mercedes-Benz. So,
I mean, that is as huge as it can get. That's
crazy,
going to be, I'm telling you, that could be...
That could be one of the most watched games ever, absolutely.
And you can see why.
Yeah.
And you can see why Fox would do it like this, because you've got at least, hopefully, Portland. Seattle is at the point where they're not, treading water, just trying to get to the second half of the season. Whereas Atlanta United, you expect them to be this exciting team. And he mentioned it on the podcast, on 99, how the network's bid on these games. And one of the games that Fox, Big Fox, wanted to bid on was this one. Hmm. And that they wanted this game. Hmm. And you can see why. Atlanta United is supposed to be this exciting style of play. It's an exciting team. It's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining soccer.
Two huge fan bases.
You're going to see a World Cup atmosphere matched with what should be another big game atmosphere. I'm not going to compare Atlanta United matches to World Cup atmospheres, but assuming no one is just staring at at some bar in the TV, know what they're going to do. They're going to have some watch party, World Cup watch party before that game, so
absolutely.
That everyone's already in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
That way, when they go from the World Cup to Atlanta United, it's an entirely packed stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that's the way it's going to go. You're going to hear Tata's name 300 million times. Seattle signs some big name. I highly doubt they're just gonna be a mention. I think.
Yeah,
I would even argue that the stadium atmosphere could be better for the Atlanta United games it's in possible. The final.
Because maybe.
I know that's maybe. A big claim. Maybe.
There's a lot.
It depends on who's
lots
playing.
Lots of corporate
it
tickets.
Depend, yeah. There are a lot of corporate tickets and just
yeah,
soccer
no,
fans
I
in
think,
general.
Who, I think it's yeah. absolutely a better atmosphere. For the World Cup
when a goal is scored in the World Cup final, there will be a better atmosphere.
I mean, yeah,
at that
we shouldn't
point.
Say but, we shouldn't say better atmosphere, but
yeah,
it,
it's kind of a
there'll be there's certainly more partisan, rowdy crowd, like you said, a final like that. You've got a lot of corporate tickets and things like that. I think it's ridiculous of me to say the atmosphere is better.
Yeah.
that
yeah.
I should take that back. But in terms of just that rowdy type of partisan environment, right. I think Atlanta United provides that. And I just love that this is the game, the day of the World Cup, this is the game where, like, who are the two best teams that will make our league look the best? And the network decides Seattle and Atlanta in Atlanta. So I just another pretty cool feather to have
and
in your
and
cap.
And I think it might get our fans a little more riled up than normal. You know, if people are watching the World Cup final on the Halo board with all the beers that are available on the 6,000 taps or whatever.
I want to see them make an event
awesome
out of it.
That'd be an awesome place to watch a game.
I want to see the club make an event out of it.
That'd be an amazing
they'd
place
be missing
to watch
out, they'd be missing out if they didn't because this is a chance to showcase
you could make so much money on concessions, too.
Oh, my gosh. This is a chance to showcase Atlanta United to the world, like, for real.
Yeah.
And if you don't, if Atlanta United doesn't, or if Arthur
Do
Blank
it,
doesn't,
people.
And here's the thing, Arthur Blank, there's no doubt in my mind that Arthur Blank already has something planned out. He already has at least some kind of idea, outline as to what's going to happen that day. And if there's not a watch party, I will be extremely disappointed.
Yeah, that would be
to the point where I'll
missed opportunity. I mean, they have to let fans in, first of all, They have to let people into the stadium
to get to
their seat for when the game starts. Yeah. So,
look,
I mean,
before,
that stadium's going to be open. Players got to warm up and everything.
Before we watch the match at Mercedes-Benz Stadiums, I would have been like, man, it'd be weird. It's going to be weird looking at that Halo board. Mm-hmm. Having spent half a season in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I have no doubt that's where I'd want to watch the game.
Yeah, I'm pretty used to
with
it.
With all my Atlanta United buddies,
yeah.
Yes, I would love to watch the game there.
You get pretty used to
and
it.
And then watching an Atlanta United game? Yeah. Sign
we'll
yes.
get drunk on soft serve ice cream up in the press box watching the game.
I'm going to get drunk on alcohol while you guys go in the press box. That's going to be a lost day for sure.
The rum raisin
Josh, I like
is to die for.
I like to put the sprinkles on my chocolate ice cream, and then
right.
I pour some chocolate syrup on my chocolate ice cream.
What are you doing with your fist over there? It's a little scary.
We had a long, conversation
that was,
about
that
ice cream
was you
before
putting
this.
It in the ice cream. Oh, I see.
Can I bring up just a stat for TV viewership that I came across today? I think was it Bruce McGuire with Due Nord up in Minnesota put it out there, but it's a staggering comparison. We've got 16 with Atlanta United. There are a few clubs: Colorado, Columbus, Minnesota, New England, and RSL. You might know where this may be going. In no disrespect to them, but they have two. And this is American, television appearances, of course. But then you also have zero for Montreal and Vancouver, I think it was. Zero national TV American games. So it's pretty huge difference there. I don't know. I wasn't expecting to be that much.
That is pretty drastic.
Well,
is that normal?
Is TSN Network considered national for them?
This is an American national TV.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
So that was, man, that was
it's kind of weird that they don't just happen to randomly land on one versus another team.
Is the disparity usually that large? I mean, when you're talking, we'll have close to half of our games on national television and other clubs.
I don't know if it's normal, I'm not sure. I'd have to ask around.
Do you guys think we're starting to see, a little off topic here, do you think we're starting to see the MLS, some real tiers form in the MLS, and which maybe is indicated in those networks are selecting, the haves and have-nots?
I think you are, but I also think they're necessary.
Oh, absolutely.
It exists in every league. You're going to have the top-tier leagues, or top-tier teams, and you're going to have the middle-class teams, and you're going to have the teams that struggle every year to get their players paid, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and I like it that you're seeing MLS reward clubs that are willing to spend, and you still have to spend smartly with the cap and however that all exactly works. But I think definitely I agree with you guys. I mean, that's why I posed the question, and I think when you say that number, it jumped out at me that there be such a disparity in national TV games, but it shows again the league understands this too, that you're gonna it's time to not have parity top to bottom where you're seeing Seattle.
Oh, time out. I do like parity.
But I like parity, but I don't like Seattle getting in, firing their manager and being a disaster and getting hot the last month of the season and winning the cup.
I don't like going into a season and kind of like not know, like it's almost like a crapshoot on where everyone's going to be. I like parity, and there is parity game to game, but there's also, I think, when we talk about these tiers, like you kind of know which teams are going to be kind of fighting for the title and which teams
But that's what the Premier League is to me. And that's honestly, that's boring.
But I think MLS is for a mix of both.
If I know in the beginning of the season what it's more or less going to look like at the end of the season, I'm only going to watch that specific set of teams, which is exactly what happens in the Premier League. You don't watch anything else for the most part, or I mean, the numbers are pretty much make that pretty obvious. You don't watch.
Not if you're a Southampton fan, though. I mean, you're watching all the Southampton.
But MLS is taking that same approach. It seems like with televising the big clubs so much and essentially ignoring your RSLs of the world. So I think,
but that's not parity, though. That's a different discussion. That's not parity.
Absolutely. But I think it indicates that I think there will always be more parity in MLS than there.
Of course. Yeah.
And that's a great part of the league. But
we're
going to start to see some separation between clubs like New England, who have maybe no interest in spending a lot of money and going and get big players. Reward the clubs like Atlanta, reward the clubs like Seattle and NYCFC and LAFC that are putting their, you know, putting their money where their mouth is and trying to create some separation in a league where it's difficult to do that.
I may have to dig into the how that works, because I don't know that they get any more money for being on national TV.
No.
It's all split.
They just want to look good.
I don't think in that regard you're rewarding in the sense that they get more eyes.
MLS knows who they're where, like.
Yeah,
they share in partnership.
I'm not as concerned with this, because I'm more about let's get MLS and American soccer to a level where people aren't thinking about the bottom tier teams and I'm not going to watch that. Let's just get them excited about American soccer first.
Yeah. Anyway,
and that's MLS at this
anyway,
point.
Anyway, it's going to be a great day, that World Cup final. I can't wait for it.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Don't talk to me the day after, though.
Joe, you.
I'm going to be rewatching both of those games on Monday because what was the score?
You came in wanting to talk about season tickets at some point.
Yes.
And you had an interesting little story, little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
something
little
that happened.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
You want me to just go into it?
Go into
All right. So I guess what I want to say is just be wary. I mean, I know that there's been rumors floating around that there's.
This is for people who haven't gotten season tickets, that are thinking about jumping on the bandwagon.
You want to get a season ticket this year.
Not bandwagon,
yeah.
But you know what I mean. So you're trying to get season tickets. Go.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how this is working. I mean, I know there's a rumor. Doug Roberson from the AJC tweeted out something about it yesterday. But I don't think the club has announced anything officially yet. And I had a friend today who was trying to buy season tickets because he heard about this. And he had to put down $100 for the deposit, which is, you know, $50 for each ticket he was buying too. And then after that, he was told that the cheapest ticket available for him to buy was $4,500. So it's a little,
which is good and bad.
And I don't
it's
know. And I don't want to get too into it. I don't want people to take this like verbatim too much, because I wasn't involved. I'm just kind of hearing this secondhand. But I don't know how that situation is going to work out. And from what I hear, I didn't see this personally either. But I heard that Darren Eales announced that they would not be opening up the upper deck for all the games next season. Which kind of contradicts having unlimited season tickets per that tweet that was sent yesterday. So I don't know how it's going to work out. So if you were interested, maybe don't get your hopes up too much yet. Maybe there will be something down the line. I'm sure the club will address it in time. I mean, there will be something official from the club regarding season tickets. But as of right now, you're not going to be – don't be expecting to go grab a $500 season ticket.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say.
Which I feel bad about, because that's like half my selling point.
Yeah.
Is like, not only is it a lot of fun,
it's
an affordable way to get into Mercedes, that literally the only affordable way to get into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And now it's, you know, they're just selling the, it's the only thing available was like club seats.
It was
enough,
like the closest to the field's Delta Sky Club. Yeah, which are.
No one gave up their tickets.
He wanted the other.
Everybody renewed.
But here's the thing. That's why I said it's good and bad. It's good because you know this demand is sky high.
Uh-huh.
It is as high as you could ever have possibly thought it was going to
be.
It's bad because the people who are coming onto it and are like, this is awesome, the new fans of soccer, potentially, they can't get into the door.
Yeah.
Or at least get into the door on a regular basis like they want to. They can't, you know, there's a way. Look, I feel like I'm a fan. I also do the press box stuff and the media stuff. I don't feel, I'll put it this way, I don't feel as much of a fan or as hardcore as of a fan as the season ticket holders because they're season ticket holders. And if I sort of feel like that, because I like doing the media side of things, I like being able to do a podcast and give you the kind of the more insider scoop, if I have it, side of things, than actually being in the stands week in and week out. But there are those people who are those people that are in that want to be in the stands that can't be there. And mm-hmm. now I feel like they're going to feel that they're not as hardcore fans.
Well,
even though they are. That's where I feel bad for those people.
I don't like that. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that take, but I totally support not opening the upper deck for all games.
Me too.
If you you get marked on the bad take bingo board for the Dirty South Soccer bad take bingo board. It's B2, I think is what it is.
B2.
But I mean, you just really risk losing a lot of atmosphere if you open up the whole thing every game just so you can fill up, like, you know, the first half of all the sections,
strategic about it.
Yeah.
You can tell, and
people will get in eventually. You know, I mean, they're all around the world. There are people on season ticket waiting lists. You know, it's like, sorry,
it's better to have a waiting list than not have a waiting list.
Early adopters.
On top of that, look,
this is a new thing for Atlanta sports. It's like waiting list for season tickets.
I do not wait, sir.
I thought we show up halfway through and just boo. I don't know. But apparently, it's a different type of thing we've got going on.
But look, it's not like you can't, if you wanted to go to all the home games, it's not like you can't get in. Someone's always selling their tickets. Someone's always trying to get rid of the tickets. Or, you know, there's ways to go to all six or all the home games. Is it 16 home games? Yeah.
17.
All 17 home games.
34 games.
And we get an 18th game, right? There's an 18th there's home a way, game. There's a way, 17 there's a way, home games during the regular season. Yeah.
There's a way to go to all the home games if you want to. It's not. You may not be a season ticket holder,
check StubHub. You can get them for
you
can get tickets for $50.
I just wanted to make one. If I can go back to the schedule,
go
point to make. You know, obviously we're all going to be excited about March, but then April is a pretty awesome month because it starts out with the first ever game versus LAFC. And then mm-hmm. that's followed up by a home game against NYCFC. Mm-hmm. We remember those games from last year.
Yeah,
well.
Big
and
teams.
And then that's also followed up by Atlanta United's first ever trip to California to play the Galaxy. So it's a pretty exciting month in April, too. So it's back-to-back. Starts off really
strong.
It's
a nice stretch of, like, playing the big, exciting teams, you know.
And one thing I also like is the schedule set up is to head into that month, I think, on a nice run of form. Mm-hmm. The Houston game in Houston is going to be tough to open the season, but then you're home to D.C. and Vancouver, two teams that are... Well, Vancouver was not good on the road last season. DC United's always had their problems. Then you go to Minnesota, obviously trying to get revenge on them. But we know what happened. We went there last year, so you have a chance to be looking real good as you head into April, and those big teams come right around the corner.
Just looking at the schedule quickly, I see that the first home game is against DC United, and this is not a surprise because we've known this for a while. But the first home game is against DC United. Whoever is in the know, or whoever has, as a fan, the ability to talk to some of the people in the front office. Do whatever you can to make DC United, that home game, open the whole stadium open.
Because I think they probably will.
We need to win one against
DC United.
And we got to take whatever edge we can get and open stadium, the full stadium, 73,000, whatever it is.
We'll be so excited. There'll be so much
against
demand
against DC United.
Game.
It's got to be.
It'll be. Open.
I don't care if you. I don't care if they don't do it for any other game. Just this one. They got to do it for this one. First home game. 2018. Full stadium.
I can't wait to see how many.
Everyone's hyped.
I can't wait to see how many Atlanta fans are in Nashville for preseason.
Oh, that's crazy.
How many Atlanta fans are going to fill the stadiums? Do we go to Charleston again? Are we playing in Charleston in the preseason?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There'll be way more fans there this year than there were last year. I mean, people are dying to see this team. We probably have more, way more Atlanta fans. There'll be people with Atlanta United jerseys in the Charleston area than there were this time last year. Mm-hmm. So.
That first DC United game is probably one. Someone asked what games on the schedule we're looking forward to. That first DC United game, the first LAFC game for me, the first road game. I want to, if I can, get to Minnesota, but it's a Sunday, so I don't know if I'll be able to do that. And I want to go to Orlando.
Orlando. Dirty South Soccer road trip down to Orlando.
May 13th, I think, is the.
Let's do it.
If we do that, I'm not using my press credential. I'm going in a ticket.
No, come sit with the away support.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Can we you know how they do like the shirtless like defense guys in football? Can we do a shirtless like a bunch of dudes or ladies if you want to wear the sports bra or whatever.
Yeah.
Can we do the shirtless Orlando's not the South?
And just we need stand, a lot of people.
And just
stand.
That would be great.
Stand like in the supporter section or
we,
in the away supporter
need a
section.
Party, full on party bus.
We just stand
then.
There. Orlando's not the South. Either that or we get you know, just a banner.
Big banner. Orlando's we should South. Do a banner. We should do. We just if, you know, if we did that, it'd be awesome to do a big banner there.
Definitely looking forward to that. Yeah. So we'll all go down. We'll have a trip down there. So if you guys are gonna take one other road trip, where would you go?
I'm going to jump in and say August 24th. Well, it's a way to Orlando first, but then the next one is the Audi Field, the first DC United game.
Oh, yeah. Is that the September 2nd game?
Yep.
That would be good.
So DC United opens up that place on September 2nd.
It should be open.
Damn it, that has to be against...
You know, honestly,
why do we have to be the first? Because you know they're going to be hyped for that game.
Well,
we're not
going to
have a crowd.
I don't think we're the first. I just meant it as our first.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
right.
We're not opening it up. Yeah.
Okay, that's our first. Okay,
never mind. Things go as scheduled.
Gotcha. I don't know about you guys, but when I like take these things into account, like an away game, I kind of take into account the city. Just like I want to go see the city. Oh,
yeah.
I want to experience the culture. I want to, you know, yeah. I want to hang out in town before the game. So
I wish we were playing Portland in Portland, just because I want to go to Portland.
That's a road trip I'd like to make one time.
I was going to say I always just want to go across the country because I haven't been up to the Pacific Northwest ever in my life. So I would love to go up to
just
one of those.
Just make the
cities.
Cascadia trip. I really
should have done Vancouver last year. That's like the best place to go. But
yeah,
it's probably
absolutely
the most expensive.
That's a bit of a ways. You know, one thing I noticed, and you kind of touched. You talked about Vancouver when we went there last year. We had some brutal road trips last year.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons, obviously, was the uniqueness of the schedule. But you look at the like long road trips this season, and you're in September, basically that stretch we just talked about, Orlando, DC United, and then you're at Colorado, at San Jose. That's not super, super daunting at all. So the schedule, I think, is we're going to really benefit from the normalcy of
it. The way that it's just home away, mm-hmm. home, away. I love it.
I get it. But the last like nine games, last 2 months of the season, like six of nine are away.
Yeah, we do have.
So whatever we had,
four away
whatever,
games.
And I mean, they're not going to be as like hardcore back to back as they were before. But you know, you are going to have to spend nine or six out of the nine road games on the road. You going to Orlando, to DC, to Colorado.
We have four away games in a row, but one of them is to Orlando, one of them is
honestly,
to DC United.
That,
those are
that,
two short trips.
That Colorado trip, that Rapids to San Jose, they should just stay out there.
They probably will. I bet you they will.
And then you come home for Real Salt Lake.
Because it's a Saturday, Wednesday, too.
Right,
so.
Yeah. And then you come back, play Real Salt Lake. Then you go to New York to play the Red Bulls.
Where are all the three-week breaks? I thought there were like three-week breaks all the time in July and August. I thought that was like a normal thing. Is that not a thing? That was just
apparently
random
not.
Last year?
I haven't gone through and looked at...
our July and August last year was like the most bizarre thing.
It was
we
bizarre.
Played two games in
it was,
like
it
30
almost,
days.
It almost felt like the German, like a Bundesliga season where you just have like a break.
Oh,
in
yeah, like the holiday
like,
break.
Like literally,
yeah.
If you on Instagram, players are just on vacation middle of the season. They were just like on yachts or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And it took... It took a little bit of a while, I thought, to get going again after that. And then when the team came back home and opened up Mercedes-Benz, really got rolling.
Oh, my gosh.
Was that Gold Cup timeout?
Yeah, you had – so there was the stadium break, there was the Gold Cup break, and I think there was another international break squeezed in there. It was really bizarre.
Can I give 2 seconds of airtime to an Orlando City fan?
I guess. Okay.
Sure.
What do we got?
I trust your judgment.
It's a guy that I'm sure he's known to some Atlanta United fans. He's a consistent troller. Ezekiel Barco is Derek. It's raised 1299 on Twitter at raised 1299. I guess he's a Rays fan. Ezekiel Barco is about to ruin his career. He should stay at Independiente. But if he really wants to come to US, he should come play for a real club like Tampa Bay Rowdies. Such a massive club, worldwide club.
Hashtag pro rel.
Hashtag Barco watch.
Hashtag Joe Cole.
Hashtag Atlanta United. Yeah. Hashtag tin pot club.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the one that hurts, you know?
Beautiful.
Anyways.
I love that take.
I just saw that.
That just really rolls off my back. Like, so we can just get good players because we have money? Okay.
Orlando has
that problem. Shame on
us.
Still
the winner. We're still the winner.
Yeah, I was like, all right, so we're new. And we're better than you, too.
All right, any final thoughts on – any final comments, anything like that?
Who's going to be better? Who's going to be better next year, Barco or Sasha Kljestan?
Oh, come on, man,
Gressel.
Gressel's the answer to all of those. Yeah, it's always Gressel.
Yeah,
good.
I just feel like
interesting to see what Orlando's
like
doing.
We get younger, they get older. Yeah. Somehow.
I think that was a good
move
for them.
There's a Days of Confused joke in there somewhere.
Not that I don't like not that I don't like Sasha Kleshin, but
Orlando stays the same age.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the same. But I'm interested to see what they're doing there. I mean, the Kleshin move, if they can get one of those, I mean, I don't know if Laren is going to be there, but if they can get Dwyer going in or the Stefano Pino they just brought in, if they can get one of those number nines to start scoring goals with Kleshin, who is a chance-creating machine, and we knew Orlando struggled like crazy to score goals last season.
I joked, but they will be better next year. Definitely.
32.
Yeah.
Yeah. That move is going to work out for them. It's a very short-term play. Like, they're going to be paying him big money when he's 35.
Do you guys think, and again, I'm being so Homer about this, Orlando made two kind of snap moves with the Dwyer mm-hmm. trade and mm-hmm. now this. Could it have to do with losing kind of status in your region so quickly and seeing a team like Atlanta United come in and immediately do the things that you have been unable to do you suddenly go splash out the most expensive trade for Dwyer?
Because I forget what happened first. Was the Kleshin trade before the Nagby trade? Or was it Nagby?
It was after.
I think it was after.
It was Nagby. Nagby, Kleshin,
because Nagby happened quick.
Because I remember at the time thinking, I was like, oh well, that's kind of cool what they did over there. Like, I feel like it's such an afterthought. Like, what did you, okay,
I know?
I'm looking at this. Yeah. Nagby, what's up?
Rob Osbury, the famous Rob Osbury, ran a poll yesterday. Is like, which midfielder would you rather have, Nagby, Kleshin, or Failhopper? And it's almost like
a great pull.
Like, what? Like, it almost sounds like a joke, you know? Like putting those picking the best of those three.
Yeah, and age alone, obviously,
the answer is obvious. Like,
you're talking about
one player who's like you know, one of the better players for the U.S. men's national team, and then a couple that used to be rotation players and now are kind of out of that.
Here's I never thought I would be just as, if not more, excited about another season of Atlanta United than I thought I would. The first season, and honestly, I
can't wait.
Look, paying Tata, Arne, honestly, I think Tata needs to retire with Atlanta United.
I think he loves it here.
I don't know.
I think we talk so much.
I don't know. And this is the last thing we're gonna talk about.
Yeah,
because we gotta go. But I think that
I need to get my parking validated.
If he gets an offer from anyone else, you, Arthur, just hand him a check and say, just make up a number.
Yeah.
You can be a number you've never heard of.
I think he loves it here, though. I mean, we talked about him building a squad. We talked about, you know, he wants to bring in this flying right back. Like, that's why he's here, because he has the freedom to do that.
I've talked about this before, but the idea that some of these guys want to move on to bigger and better things, someone like Tata, I don't think that exists anymore, because he's done those big, better things.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't pan out to be exactly what you dream it would be. You know, you go to Barcelona and coach a guy like Messi, then you go to Argentina and coach the national team. You know, those are two big, you know, check marks in a career, and both of them didn't really end or go the way he had hoped, and he didn't really like the experiences.
Yeah.
They were, I think, life lessons for him, and now that he's with Atlanta United, he's enjoying it, I assume, so much that I think that you offer him anything he wants. And you keep him here until he wants to coach no more.
Mm-hmm.
This should be his last stop.
I hope so.
If you're Arthur Blank, Darren Eales is the same way. Because you know someone's going to come at some point and offer him stupid money.
Darren Eales?
Yeah.
Eales will go to Tottenham to replace Daniel Levy. That's my prediction.
I'm not saying he wouldn't.
In like 5 years.
You make it really hard for him to leave. Really hard for him to leave.
Blank can make it hard. Blank can make
really
it very hard.
You do. I don't want any doubt that, look, it's not about the money. It's about, you know, childhood dreams and I've always wanted this, and I want it to be about that. I want him to take less money to go to Tottenham.
Wow.
That's what I want. I want to make sure that it's not because of the money or the environment or anything that he creates here for himself.
Yeah.
I want it to be that we just weren't going to beat out Tottenham. I don't want it. Honestly.
We'll
both
see.
Those guys.
I don't like thinking
both
about
those
this,
guys.
But
I mean, either. But at some point, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
As the
world turns,
I think it's less likely to happen for. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I think it's less likely to happen for someone like Tata, who again has already done those things. Someone like Eales could still accomplish so much in the world of soccer outside of MLS, outside of Atlanta United, and doing it in the big stage in Europe. That's obviously a big milestone for someone in the soccer world, and so he's going to want to do that. Just make it really, really damn hard for him to leave. I think this 1 year has proven that. And who knows? Maybe 5 years from now, we're like, all right, he's done. He's ready to go. But right now, offer him whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Both him and Tata. Anything else, guys?
I think, and I think just to piggyback on what you guys are saying, yeah, I think Tata really is the key. I mean, I love Eels. I love, you know, I think we have guys that know what to do, how to find the players, but Tata's the reason they're coming. And as long as he's here, we'll always be able to go get this special type of player that has not been previously available to MLS sides. So as long as he's here, I think it's an exciting product, no matter what.
I got to bring up one more thing, and I got to find the information on it first. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yep. Just to piggyback,
I'm cuckoo for Tata.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking up the vibes that I heard you say 5 years. I think, or someone said five.
Yeah,
years.
Yeah, I just threw it out there.
I think I think that's a reasonable expectation for both of them. Mm-hmm. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's so hard.
There.
I mean, you don't really find many managers around the world ever that stay longer, you know, than about that time. And most that do,
yeah,
they're staying. And you know, people like Josh don't want them around anymore. So,
why didn't you rotate your squad in September? But could you guys? This might be his last stop. No matter how long, I mean, he's done everything.
How old is he? Do we know? I don't know. Off the top
he's
of my head.
Talking about Tata.
He's not. 50s, yeah. He's always in his 55. Wow, 1 year off. But he's
a spring chicken.
He is. But he's done everything. He's been everywhere. He's mm-hmm. managed in World Cup finals, and you know, for Barcelona, and I don't know where else he goes from here. I mean, I think he's here because he wants to try something new, and maybe he sees it as a final stop. Now, that might not mean he's here for a million years, but this might be his last.
I do have a sneaky suspicion he might want to do the U.S. men's national team. Not for 2022, but for 2026, maybe, possibly.
But why?
Because he wants to leave. I really think he wants to leave a legacy in this country. I think that's a thing for him.
But he doesn't have to do that at the U.S. national
team
level.
He can do it at Atlanta.
At that time,
he
might be able to, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're talking 10 years down the line.
That could be World Cup.
Maybe.
Could be.
Yes. Managing Andrew
Carlton. I didn't realize he was only 50. I mean, I don't know why I didn't think he was only 55 years old. He's 55 years old?
Andrew Carlton's little brother. Down the wing or wherever he plays.
No, he wouldn't play him. He would just sit him on. He would just have him on the bench.
I don't know. Like, he could do so much more not in that role.
I just don't think he has much left to do. I think he came to Atlanta because he likes taking on these unique kind of challenges. He could obviously be managing at a big club in Europe if he wanted to. But I think he enjoys kind of
here's the thing, though.
He's unique, different types.
He's able to do what he's doing in Atlanta because he's got the pool of Argentine or South American talent.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that same kind of talent in the United States.
If you go through and you look
I mean, it's a tougher ask.
It would be more frustrating.
It's a different ask because it's not the same player pool. And by that point, I'm not saying that it couldn't be. I don't think it's going to be. But it's just not – I don't know. It's not something that I feel like he's going to – Based on everything he said with coming into Atlanta United, it's not something that I feel like he wants to retake on, I guess.
I think if you look at very highly successful people, like people who have succeeded at the highest levels, when they come to the ends of their careers, they want to leave legacies. They don't care as much about money. They don't care as much about like personal glory as much. They want to like do something that transcends beyond their life, you know? And I think that that's something really strong with him. I think it's strong in Arthur Blank. I think that he kind of sees a lot of what Atlanta United is, especially with the youth academy and everything, is almost like a philanthropic thing where it's like he wants to establish this culture of soccer in the city that will last forever and ever. So that's my main reason thinking that. But
you guys suck. I said we wanted to go for like 40 minutes max, and we're at an hour and a half almost. Last thing I want to talk about.
I blame Joe.
Not even talk about
it. I blame
it.
Me.
Terminus Legion having themselves a painting poker throw ball tournament. I don't even know how that.
What did you say?
I don't know.
Poker throw ball?
I think it's just a poker tournament. I'm not sure. Super Bowl
That's
Sunday.
What they call American football in England, isn't it?
Marking flags and banners for the upcoming Atlanta United season, playing poker, watching the big game. 1:30 to 5:30 is the Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament. 21 players, $25 buy-in. There's an opportunity to rebuy. bounties for eliminating celebrity players. I think they're going to consider me some kind of celebrity player. So if you can knock me out, I'm pretty good.
Big
so,
shot. Big shot.
Made it to the final table last time. I forget who knocked me out, but suck it. Send, if you want to play, send a payment. Again, $25, send a payment. Man, I don't care
when it comes to Texas Hold'em.
Wow.
Send a payment to...
I fold.
payments at TerminusLegion.com. Make sure you add the note poker. And, yeah, you give away one. Well, they'll watch the big game after that. Super Bowl. I think you're not allowed to say Super Bowl. Whatever.
We can say it. You can't print it.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
You can't use it in advertising.
It's crazy.
That's what it is.
You can't
use it in advertising.
You can't, yeah.
So, yeah, what? They will be showing the big game.
CrossFit Vesuvio will not be sponsoring this podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
But CrossFit Vesuvio does sponsor the podcast. So bad. If you're looking for a place to do some CrossFit, get
Suck it,
back
Super Bowl.
In shape. If you're looking into that New Year's resolution and wondering where the hell did my body go, well, I'm thinking the same thing. So that's why I'm going back. Send him a text. Well, not send him a text.
The good guys over there.
Send me a message at Eric G. Quintana on Twitter. I'll direct you to who you need to go to. CrossFit Vesuvio on Twitter. And they're also on Facebook. You can find them just by searching CrossFit Vesuvio. Give them a shout. Dirty South Soccer for all the latest Barco Watch news and notes and hopefully signings. And anything else, guys?
Go to Dirty South Soccer.
Where can they find you, Joe Patrick?
At JAPatrick200.
And Josh, go ahead.
JoshB914.
And Hayes?
Hayes?
No numbers for me. At Hayes Creech.
That is so professional. I need to change mine.
It's because he's the professional.
I know.
He's
proper
journo guy. Yeah, exactly. At Eric G. Quintana for me and at MOTS Podcast. If you're looking for the podcast on Twitter, send us an email, MOTSpodcast@gmail.com. And other than that, all good. All right. Take it easy, guys. We'll do this again next week. Well, not you two, but well, maybe.
Thanks
you
for coming on, guys.
Depending on whatever.
This was fun.
Depending on whatever Jay can do. Look, hey.
I think we should replace Jay and Kelly. I think they're done here, Eric. I think we just stick
you
with
hear
these.
You hear that, Jay?
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, suck it, Jay.
I never liked him anyway. And plus, he's been wearing sleeves recently. I've been really turned off. Yeah. You know, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, when he doesn't wear the sleeves, it's the BO that we have to worry about. I mean, they don't ever know about it, but, you know. Deodorant, man. Someone's gonna get something like next, like on his birthday. Someone's gonna get him. Listen to this and get him deodorant for his birthday. Watch.
I want Jay in his purest form with no sleeves. I mean, that's that vintage is, Jay, and yeah. You know.
The funniest thing is where it was. I forget what loss it was, but it was some loss. And the next day he comes in with sleeves, and we're like, "Are you like in mourning right now? What's going on?" But yeah. All right. Until next time. See you later, Atlanta.